Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness Radio broadcast. Sitting here looking at my Christmas tree. Sitting around the table is my family, Brenda. She's with us today. She's got a microphone in front of her. Mm-hmm. And we've got Tony over here. If you want to see his wonderful testimony of healing, it's still up on the archives. That was when?
March 18th.
Which year? 2012, yeah. March 18, 2012, you can go on and you can see this wonderful gift that God gave Tony of a new pancreas. Mm-hmm. And then over here, of course, are my grandsons, Jared and Brandon, and they're the engineers. We don't have a microphone in front of them today. Sometimes we do, but doing this here tonight, it just reminds me of how family Christmas is. How planned God is. And we talked yesterday about his moeds. There's a great calendar of redemption. Two marvelous dates on that calendar of redemption. Sister Jeannie Wilkerson used to talk about there are two golden hooks upon which all history hangs. The first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord. All other world events pale in the light of those two. Now here we are. We're celebrating the first coming of the Lord, and we're coming right upon the second coming of the Lord. And I want to look in to show you. Now, I believe these moeds that we talked about mm-hmm. yesterday that are on God's calendar, mm-hmm. everything he's ever done in his pattern is in the calendar of redemption to do something with those moeds. He did something on the Passover. Jesus was crucified as the Passover lamb. He did something on Pentecost. He sent the Holy Ghost mm-hmm. on Pentecost, mm-hmm. the second Passover date. Now, the first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord, I believe, have very much to do with the circle dates on God's calendar. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of the sources that I have for this is E.W. Bullinger. E.W. Bullinger is a Bible scholar. He did all the comments on the Companion Bible. And I use that a lot for, he just gives so many wonderful facts. And you can look there. If you're not a Greek scholar, you can find out about the Greek verbs. He's wonderful. And how he lived in one lifetime and wrote all that, I don't know. But in speaking about why we have Christmas on December 25th, I agree with what he says. And this is what he says. And it's written in Appendix 179, page 198 of this Companion Bible. He writes, "It thus appears without the shadow of a doubt." My, he's sure. Mm. "That the day assigned to the birth of the Lord, December 25th, was the day on which he was actually begotten of the Holy Ghost and his divine power." Bullinger writes, "We know," now this is not what Bullinger says, but this is what we know. "We know that Herod died in," most people believe 4 BC, 4 to 6 BC. Well, the monk that made the calendar we use, the Gregorian calendar, was off in his counting. Jesus wasn't born in the year 1. Mm-hmm. He didn't die in the year 33. Mm-hmm. Now that monk was off when he changed that calendar. Jesus had to have been born before Herod died, because mm-hmm. Herod killed mm-hmm. all the boy babies, mm-hmm. 2 years and younger. So we know that the calendar is off. Now, here's what some things that he says about it. He believes that the birth of Jesus took place, and he's got a calendar of parallel dates here I don't take time to go into, but he believes that it took place on the 15th of Etanim, September 29, in the year following, making beautifully clear the meaning of mm-hmm. John 1:14. Hmm. Now, John 1:14, what does John, and while we're talking about this, Brenda, turn over to John to be ready to read John 1:14. Bullinger said, and many Bible scholars do agree on this, that the four Gospels present Jesus in a different way. He is presented as Jehovah's King in the book of Matthew. Mm-hmm. And we went on this last week. We talked about him coming as a king in his kingdom. Mm-hmm. He's presented in Luke and Mark as Jehovah's servant and Jehovah's man. He is presented in the book of John as God himself, Jehovah God. Jesus is presented in the book of John as Jehovah God. The book of John, the four Gospels, John doesn't have anything about the baby in the manger. Mm-mm. He doesn't have anything about the shepherds. He doesn't have anything about the Magi. The Magi are only in the book that presents him as king. Mm. So in the book of John, he is presented as God. And I want you to read in the book of John, John 1, 1.
John 1, 1. Mm-hmm. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Go on.
The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Or overcame it not. Nothing in the world about the baby in the manger. Him is God. Him is creator. Hmm. Now go down to verse 14, Brenda.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
The Word, who was God, was made flesh. That's the incarnation. And dwelt among us. Now that word dwelt in the Greek is tabernacled. Hmm. Yeah. And the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. Mm-hmm. God, he was the Word, he was God, and he was made flesh and tabernacled among us. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going back and reading to you from Bullinger. His birth took place on the 15th of Etanim. He's gone back and scheduled all and looked at all this in the calendars of time. And his estimation is that he was born on September 29 in the year following, thus making beautifully clear the meaning of John 1:14, the Word became flesh and tabernacled with us. The 15th of Etanim in that year, 4 BC, was the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Hmm. There would have followed then that Jesus' circumcision would have taken place on the 8th day of the feast. Mm-hmm. The Feast of Tabernacles is 8 days. Mm-hmm. He would have been made flesh. He would have been born as the baby on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and the circumcision would have taken place on the last of the Feast of Tabernacles. So that these two, and I'm reading again from Bullinger, these two momentous events fall into their proper place and order, and the real reason is made clear why the 25th of December is associated with our Lord and was set apart by the Apostolic Church. It was the apostles who set apart that date to commemorate the stupendous event of the Word becoming flesh, and not, as we have for so long been led to suppose, the commemoration of a pagan festival. An overwhelming, then he gives for his point too, an overwhelming strong argument in favor of the correctness of this view lies in the fact that the date of, quote, the festival of Michael and all angels has been from very early times celebrated on the 29th day of September in Western reckoning. Hmm. The church, even then, had lost sight of the reason why this date, rather than any other in the calendar, should be so indissolubly associated with a great angel angelic festival. There was a great angelic festival that in the earliest days of the church, they celebrated on the 29th of September. And that great angelic festival was called the Festival of Michael and All the Angels. The following expresses the most universally known knowledge, or rather want of knowledge, of Christendom on the subject. We pass on now to consider in the third place the commemoration of September 29, the Festival of Michaelmas par excellence. It does not appear at all certain what was the original special idea of the commemoration of the day. So says Smith's Dictionary of Antiquity, Christian Antiquity. A reference, however, to the table and statements above makes the original special idea why the Festival of Michael and All Angels is held on September 29 abundantly clear. Our Lord was born on that day, the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And what he's saying is, no wonder they celebrated the great angel feast, because the great angelic heavenly host came to announce his birth.
Yes.
And so there would have been, even in ancient antiquity, there was this ancient feast that they celebrated on that day. And he says, wouldn't that have been Michael, the great archangel, and all the angels who came to announce him? And when he came to the first begotten into the world, it says in Hebrews 1:6 that it was said, let all the angels of God worship him. When he came into the world, yes, it is written, let all the angels of God worship him. So if there's going to be a great angelic feast on September 29th, probably the reason for having that feast is because of Michael and all the angels who sang as those shepherds worshiped in that field.
Now, would that be the day of conception?
That would be 29th of September was the day of birth. It was the 29th of September,
that's right,
which is the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Right.
And that's the date that they have St. Michael Mass.
Right.
And that's the date that they celebrate all this angel gathering. Mm-hmm. Now, if you camp back from September 29th, and you know just how many days it takes for a baby to be born, and he came the same way we did, exactly the time of conception would have been on December 25th. And so the date would have been chosen to sell by the Apostolic Church. The date in the ancient times, and the Jews see life beginning at conception, then they would honor as his coming the earth. He became flesh. He entered into the womb of a woman. The day that he came into that womb is the day that we celebrate. When he left and laid aside all of his glory and entered into the egg of a woman, that would have been December 25th. And then the 9 months would have ensued, and he would have been brought forth. He would have tabernacled. The word was made flesh in that woman's womb,
right,
and dwelt among us on that first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, circumcised on the eighth. You can read this for yourself in the Companion Bible. Shalom.